Well, for starters, let's just take a look at this appearance of Jesus. It unfolds on that first Easter day and the day of Christ's resurrection. Now, this story is only in Luke. It is alluded to in, I think it's Mark, but Luke is the only one that actually tells this story. So we're not really sure where Emmaus is. If you look at maps, you will find that there is an Emmaus. It has been put there. Not sure how it got there or what, but we're not sure where this geographically was taking place. But we know that they went and returned on the same day. So it's about a half day's walk from Jerusalem. This is important because Luke considered Jerusalem to be the spiritual center of Judaism and to play an important role in all of it that was unfolding about Jesus. The thing that it doesn't speak to is how they were walking and Jesus approached them, and then how they were walking again and Jesus, well, not walking again, but at the table, Jesus blessed the bread and wine, and then he vanished. This interesting sort of balance between coming to them and presenting to them all this information and then turning around and just vanishing. And nothing is said about that. We know who Cleopas is, and the other traveler is unnamed. What matters here is that there were two of them. It's a community experience. The two are walking to Emmaus. They are disciples of Jesus. Now you say, but the 11, no, these are disciples. We are disciples. The apostles are set apart, but all of us are disciples of Christ if we believe and are willing to take the word, the good news, into the world. And they're deeply affected by what's happened in Jerusalem these last few days. Who is he? They wonder. Now, we know that he is Jesus, but they don't. And their eyes, strangely, were kept from recognizing him. The whole thing starts, as I said, of Jesus approaching them and speaking to them first. We're not sure exactly what they thought or said, but they were obviously somewhat confused. They declare that they knew Jesus suffered things and entered into glory, and how in the world could you not know what had happened? So Jesus, they arrive in Emmaus, and Jesus goes on his plans to go on his way. And the present disciples invite him to stay. It's towards the end of the day. And so Jesus accepts their invitation. And before they returned to Jerusalem, they had a lot to learn, a lot to know. There's a lot in this story that's worth treasuring. It's not a story that we just race to and read and, oh, isn't that cool? It unfolds, and it takes time, and it builds, and it climaxes with the breaking of the bread. Paying attention to how this story takes place in the shadow of Jerusalem is important. And only much later will the church truly venture away from Jerusalem. But here's this first appearance of Jesus, and it happens on the way out of the city, on the way to somewhere else, maybe on the way to anywhere and everywhere. We're not given any reason why these two disciples did not recognize Jesus. It's just mysterious. I can't imagine a friend of mine coming up beside me and saying, can I walk with you, and not recognizing them, but that's exactly what the case was. Luke says that their eyes were prevented from seeing, And this goes to those questions about, you know, we have about, well, why would God harden someone's heart? Why would God harden Pharaoh's heart? So I wonder, what is it that has prevented us from seeing Jesus? They're confused, like I said. They're sad. They're incredulous that Jesus doesn't know what's going on. And they don't know which end is up. And they don't know what to believe. But then Jesus teaches them about himself, and he uses the scriptures. He speaks of all the prophets and includes the law of Moses. Luke doesn't tell us the exact place of chapter and verse of the law and the prophets that Jesus is referring to. But everything they have experienced with the Messiah, teaching, death, and resurrection, is part of the story of Scripture. They just didn't understand it. So there were scriptures, and then there was the meal. And they asked him to stay, and they gave him a prime place at the table. And four things happen, according to Luke. He takes the bread, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and he gives the bread. And finally then, after the scriptures and after the giving of the bread, they recognize him. Finally. It's as if Jesus prepares them for this revelation. The disciples were so caught up in their sadness, they could not recognize the joy that was with them. They could not recognize the good. They could not recognize the positive. And how many times in our lives have we been so caught up in all the negative stuff in our lives and in the world that we fail to see the joy of Jesus? These actions are central to the celebration of the Eucharist, and we continue to observe them today in our worship. We take the bread, we offer it, we bless it, and we share it. We do this every week. We do what Jesus did every week, and we find Jesus in what we do every week. So this is a story about a journey. What kind of road has your spiritual journey been like? What kind of road have you walked? Can you remember a time when Jesus was present, but you just didn't know it? Can you remember a time looking back and recognizing that Jesus was with you and that Jesus had always been there? How have you experienced Jesus preparing you for a deeper understanding of who he is? Has there been a time when you yearned for Jesus to stay with you, even just for a little while? What has kept my eyes from seeing Jesus? My worries, my fears, my preoccupation with all the things all around me, my own limited understanding of who Jesus is. I have, and I suspect some of you have had trouble seeing Jesus in our daily lives. To see Jesus, sometimes we have to look for him. What might be a way that we can go into the world this week and ask for Jesus to show up and ask to be able to see him? Study of Scripture is important, and it's intended to affect how we live. So based on this story, what is one thing you would like to do differently? How might we look at something, understand something differently based on this story? Or based on this story, what has happened for us? What are we to pray for now? Should we pray for peace among the community? Should we pray for 5 coming up for our Thy Kingdom Come celebration? Praying for 5 people that you hope will come to the gospel, to know Jesus and be saved. What shall we pray for? And how shall we see Jesus? Amen.